Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Things don't seem particularly bright in Bloomfield right now, at least in terms of politics. It's a wonderful town. I live in Windsor right next door, and I've had tons of great experiences both in Bloomfield and with the people of Bloomfield. Politically, it seems like it's kind of a mess. I also want to talk about this concept of putting solar farms on top of, completed landfills. Both those stories, and Don Stakem's been involved in the Hartford Current. Go to current.com. And the last name is S-T-A-C-O-M. If you want to just say Stakem and Current, you can get all the stories. Don joins us now on Brian and Company. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, I know you weren't not necessarily following this Bloomfield story all the way through, but you did talk about the mayor, Danielle Wong, stepping down early. She had announced she wasn't running for re-election, and now she's leaving early. She can say that, you know, her circumstances of the timetable has been accelerated or what have you. Do you get any real sense of how messy it is and what's actually going on in Bloomfield?
It's politically, it's very messy right now. There had been it's a very heavily Democratic town. Democrats control all the boards and have a massive registration power over the Republicans and unaffiliateds. The council had one group contingent of Democrats oust the other one a few years back, a very ugly primary, and that has led to bad feelings on both sides. A lot of resentment on the people who were voted out against the folks who were in, some unhappiness on the folks who were in against the people who were out. Danielle has been the target for a lot of the people who were voted out. She's seen as the head of this administration. She is, and there's been a lot of unhappiness toward her.
Has she done, it seems like the town is doing pretty well. I mean, has she done a bad job?
It all depends who you talk to. The people in her administration say she's brought normalcy to a town that has had been through several town managers in just a few years. That's a bad thing when you're rotating bosses again and again and again for department heads, for town employees. It's a very tough thing. And that she has got the budget under control. Her opponents say she's been secretive and dismissive of any criticism. And the height of the ugliness of this seemed to be when they put a roughly $30, $35 million new library that they're just completing. And her administration decided to rename it Earl Suggs Library, Joe Suggs Library, rather, in honor of the former mayor, the first black mayor in the city, in the town, rather than Prosser. But Prosser was a very historic name. It was the family that donated the money for the initial library in town. A lot of people in town were furious with it. They had to roll it back. But in doing that, there was just a lot of vindictive, nasty arguing back and forth on both sides. You know, it's a very tough sign when you can't do something positive like a library opening without that kind of animosity from both directions.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens next. Obviously, we'll have a new mayor come the fall, and in terms of whoever steps in, maybe they get a leg up. I'm not sure. But you can go to current.com and read, again, Don's piece from yesterday on it. The original reason we wanted to get in touch with you is this landfill solar story. Can you just explain to people what the concept of it is?
So one of the ideas with landfills, capped landfills, is there's nothing to really do with them. You're not going to build houses on them.
Right.
Very few people are going to be interested in using it for anything. And as you know, Hartford has this one you see on 91, just as you come up north of 84, be on your right, this big hill. For years, you saw bulldozers and graders capping that. I think it was about 18, 20 years ago when it closed, and there's nothing else to do with it. company, SeaTac, is talking about putting in roughly 8,000 solar panels on it, better part of 14 acres, I believe, to use as a solar farm. And this is a trend that's caught a lot more wind in New England and the Northeast than elsewhere in the country. Use old landfills for solar farms. Has some controversy about it. And there is an expense for developers because you, when you're building these things, you can't put on the kind of weight that you might on a traditional open landfill because you can't have the foundation or the supports piercing the landfill cap and exposing that toxic stuff underneath back up again. So they have a little more engineering to do. But generally, right, landfills are out in the sun. So you've got maximum use. They're very close to power lines. You don't have to do some long extension to get into connect to the grid. And then they're city-owned. And again, there's nothing much else to do with them.
What's the controversial side of it? What's the controversy?
After Hartford just signed up for this, some people have come out saying they didn't get enough money. It's roughly, depending on how much, kind of complex formula on what the energy ultimately ends up being worth, the city will get $2 to $4 million over the next 20 years. Then some people said, well, that should be a whole lot more. It should be a direct percentage of the developer's profit. It should be some other formula that brings them in more money. There is an argument, though, that this land was generating nothing since roughly 2008 and really had no prospect of it. It's not that somebody was going to build a mixed-use development there next month. It wasn't going anywhere.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Don, such an interesting topic to me, Don Stakem in the Hartford Current, because I never thought about, like, what happens to a landfill when it's done and you cap it. And it sounds like, I mean, I think the point is a fair one. It's like, well, if it wasn't doing anything and you can get some money out of doing something and nobody really can see on top of it anyway, the one on 91, no one's on top of it. I mean, the only people who see it are the people who drive by or if you've got a drone or a plane. But does normally these things get capped and then nothing gets put there and they just stay like that forever?
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Ever?
So far, that is typically what's been happening. There can be some limited open space uses, but again, you don't really want to be having any kind of high-intensity public contact with it, generally, because of what's under it. And you certainly can't dig into that for foundations for any normal retail or commercial or residential building. This is going on now in, I think we listed about 7 or 8 Connecticut communities that are pursuing this. Massachusetts, as of a few years ago, had half of all the landfill solar arrays in the country. Massachusetts is way ahead of it. But Massachusetts is interesting. If you go up on the Mass Pike and you do some of their cloverleaf exits, you will find solar panels in the circle of the cloverleaf. And I have no idea how they make money off of that. They're not big arrays. They can't be because it's not that big a space. But it is otherwise wasted space. So the first time I saw it, that's very interesting. This is completely wasted space. You can't build anything there. Well, they've built enough solar, evidently, to generate some profit.
To make it worthwhile. Good stuff, Don. It's good to catch up with you. It's been a while. And thanks for the time on the program.
Thank you, Brian. Great talking with you.
All right. Have a great day. Don Stakem. Again, you S-T-A-C-O-M. If you can Google it with the Current, you can get his stuff. The stuff in Bloomfield is something to keep an eye on for sure.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.